Psalm this morning is Psalm 40, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of thy book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached the righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded, together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. For I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
Oh. join together in prayer? Heavenly Father, we once again come to you with thankful hearts, thankful that you have given us the opportunity to be here together, to worship you and to gather around your word and learn what we would. Lord, December tends to be a very busy month, and the world would take away from us what we would like to celebrate in the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we just pray, Lord, that through the coming days of December, that we would remember that psalm where it says, Lord, it says, be still and know that I am God. And that being still, just take our souls, rest them, and let us focus on what is the peace of the season, and that your Son was born to us to save us from our sins. And just let us remember that through this season, and that we would be able to speak that message to all that we come in contact with. And Lord, can we pray that prayer that you've taught us? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be granted unto you through this indwelling Spirit on this hour and day of worship. Somebody can grab me some water, that would be good. Question came to me a few weeks back, probably a month back. Somebody at work asked me, What do you celebrate when you celebrate Christmas? And he was looking for an answer, a correct answer, but he was looking for an answer for himself. And I said, well, for me, in the years past, I've always said it's the moment in time where God regenerated my heart and took me out of darkness and brought me into his magnificent light, and he changed me, regenerated me, and took me from a 180 going the wrong direction and brought me into the right direction. That's what the birth of Christ in my heart did. So when I celebrated Christmas, or I celebrate Christmas, that's what I look at. Or that's what I remember. He says, but what do you celebrate? And I said, what are you looking for? And he said, the incarnation. So I thought, oh, okay. That's a good point. Never really thought of that. So I thought, well, words are meaningful, and there's nothing, I take nothing by coincidence that is spoken to me. So I took that as a topic for the message this morning. With anybody that's a theologian knows, which I'm not, incarnation or the incarnate, the word is not in the Bible. You won't find it. But the doctrine of incarnation does appear many times. So that's what we're looking for in this text, is we're kind of looking for what is incarnation. And the Latin verb, it's verbum caro factum est, which means the word became flesh. That's basically what incarnation means. And in Matthew and John 1:14, basically, I'm going through some references and for the text today, just to kind of explain the word incarnation, knowing that it's not actually written in the Bible, but the doctrine of incarnation is written. So let's go to John 1:14. And everybody knows John. It's the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the first verse, part of the first verse. The 12th verse to the 18th, it kind of gives you what part of the incarnation or incarnate means. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The ones that did not believe, rebelled against him, and so his own did not receive him. The Jews, the Pharisees, Sadducees, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, John the Baptist, and cried, saying that basically he is not the Christ, but he's the one that's going to prepare the way for Christ. And that's what basically it says in John. In Matthew, if you look in Matthew, it says, chapter 1, I believe it is, 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call him in his name Emmanuel, God with us, which being interpreted is God with us. So we have here the incarnation of Christ through these verses. And basically, it's the incarnation to me, or the what it means to me, is that Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God. And his birth, we celebrate his birth. But really, we're celebrating the life of Christ and what he is doing, has done, and will do. Not only him physically on earth, but him spiritually as the Holy Spirit, how he changed your life. We're celebrating that. When we look at a life, the life of Christ or the birth of Christ, so it's kind of like your birthday. You celebrate it every year. When you die, I don't think they're celebrating your birthday. They're celebrating your legacy, your life. So when we celebrate the birth of Christ, we're celebrating the life that he lived on earth until he died and then rose again, and the life that he allowed to happen in all of his brethren and the believers in Christ. So we have verses in what he accomplished throughout our life as well, what he did for us. And if you look at that psalm, in Psalm 40, I could just read that and say, that's what he did. And I could sit down. Because that's a very, very pertinent psalm of how God leads people and leads their life through the Holy Spirit. So if we look at a few more verses, Galatians 2:20, what does it say? We look in Galatians. This is something that Jesus, for every believer, this has happened. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, now the life that we're living as Christians, I live by the faith of the Son of God, because he's granted me his faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have the faith of the Son of God. It's been given to us. In 2 Corinthians 4, and these are verses to help us understand what God has done for us through his Son. Verses 7 to, I think 14, I believe. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. There's a treasure in us. The Holy Spirit is the treasure. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The Christian handles things differently because of our faith. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Because we will never be forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life always of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, made known, exemplified. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So we will be raised up with him because we have the faith of Christ and we understand the work of the cross was accomplished for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17-21. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, because we have the faith of Christ, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, because he first loved us, may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints, the bride of Christ, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The glory and praise goes to God alone, that we have faith, we have grace, and we are part of his kingdom. It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to him alone. The reason why we are where we are at is because God has orchestrated it. So when did this start? When did this idea start, the dwelling of God? It started in the Old Testament, actually, in Exodus. Chapter 25. God's desire was to dwell with men. 8th verse to the 9th, and it goes on in the form of the Ark of the Covenant. Let them that make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So then he makes the Ark of the Covenant. It says in there, he says, and they shall make the Ark of shittim wood. It'll be overlaid with pure gold. Upon it, a crown of gold around about, four rings of gold for it, four corners thereof, and two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. And it shall have staves of shittim wood, overlaid them with gold, staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And it goes on, the staves of the rings of the ark. And it's describing this place, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, which I shall give thee. And that, this is 16, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be their length thereof, and the cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look in. Look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shall put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So what was in the ark? There was the manna, the golden pot with manna, Aaron's rod that budded, which is like created many miracles, 2 tablets of the law. And at the center of the mercy seat is where God dwelt. And if you remember in the New Testament where Mary sees the 2 angels in the tomb, it's depicting the same thing. 2 angels, one and the other, looking at the center. The mercy seat was Christ. He fulfilled all these things. He's the bread of life. He created all the miracles when he lived. He fulfilled the law, and he is the mercy seat. So we have this picture of in Exodus of where God wants to dwell. And in the New Testament, he dwells in the hearts of believers. In 33 of Exodus 7 to 11 explains a little bit more. Or 7 to 8, I guess. Moses took, this is 33:7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man and his tent at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone to the, unto the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So you have here the idea that God wanted to have a dwelling place, and he dwelt in the tabernacle. In the New Testament, he dwells in believers through the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We are ambassadors to him. John 1 goes in from 12 to 18. It kind of gives you a picture of what he accomplishes through his life, what he accomplished through his the bride of Christ. Sorry, John 1:12. Sorry. I believe it is. You can find it. Yeah. And this is what happens with us through that power of that Holy Spirit. But as many has received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, brothers of Christ, or brethren, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, but of the, I've read this already, the will of man, but of God. And the word became, was made flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory. So this is part of the incarnation. Isaiah speaks of it in the Old Testament, chapter 7. Verse 11 to 14. And thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin child shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So we have, and in chapter 9 of this same book, it says, 6 to 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And listen to the names that he gets, what he's responsible for. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. It's interesting. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Separate church and politics doesn't really say that here. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Came to judge the world. The just shall live by faith, the faith of Christ. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is also something in the Old Testament which was spoken of. revealing the incarnation to come. So what about this faith that we have? Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. This is the faith that we have. First three verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was a creator, Jehovah Jireh. We have in Hebrews 1:1, the first chapter of this same book. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers and by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So in the past, it was through what? Through the fathers and the prophets. Now it's through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, taken them away from as far as the east is from the west, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, the Father. So what is this faith is important that has been granted to us as a gift, for it is impossible to please God without it. So the life of Christ in you created all these things. When we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating his life. We're celebrating his birth, yes, but his life and how he changed us and is continuing to change us. 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Every one of us in here are sinners, and we will continue to be sinners. But God the Father sees us as saints because we believe in the work of the cross. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy that is in me. First, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. This is the pattern. We are going to suffer. We are going to have trials. To them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The praise goes to him and him alone. In Titus 3, 4-7. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's the works righteousness which Christ has done, which was imputed to us. But according to mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the regeneration of our hearts, the regeneration of our minds, the renewing of our minds, like it says in Romans 12:1, of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When we celebrate his birth and his life, we have a lot to celebrate. The prophet Zechariah says in chapter 9, nine and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off and shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. Showing his power, the power of Christ to come. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating more than his birth. We're celebrating his life and the life changes that he's made for you through his power, through the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3:16. In the book of John, chapter 3, if you read the first part of it, it's talking about people that are born again. And the ones that aren't born again cannot see the kingdom of God. And towards the end of the chapter, from the middle of the chapter, from 16 to 21, it speaks of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have a lasting life. That's us. The ones who believe that Jesus died and paid for their sins, rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the devil, and gave us his righteousness, his perfect life. And he received our sin. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because we believe in what he's done on the cross. And then 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because they don't believe in Jesus. So they're condemned until they have received the gift of faith through the grace of God. By having a broken and lowly contrite heart, so that they can be changed, transformed, and regenerated, and moved in the opposite direction, they're condemned already. God has to work that in them. But the problem is, and this is the condemnation, that light cometh into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their darks were evil, their deeds were evil. They like darkness rather than light, because they don't want to know that how evil they are. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He doesn't want people to know how evil he is. But the light of Christ breaks that down. The word of God is sharper and discerns the intents of the heart. So the believer recognizes how evil they are and they need a Savior. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, made known, that they are wrought in God. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Three to seven. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even in that verse. God did have a Son, Jesus Christ. And he is our Lord. Which was made of the seed of David. according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace, favor, and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all them be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, because that's how he sees us. Grace to you and peace from our God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 10 of Romans, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reason why we have faith is God orchestrated a time where you heard the word of God. The reason why grace entered was God orchestrated a time in your life where you were broken, lowly, and contrite, and you could not even look up, but you did. And he received you. Everything is subjected. Everything is put under Jesus' feet. Hebrews chapter 2, 8. It's a beautiful picture of what Christ is doing with his saints. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for he's suffering with suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren or brothers, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, the ones who are called, the called. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise, himself likewise, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject into bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham, which we all are, believers in Christ. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful, a high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And finally, in Philippians, chapter 2, 6 to 11. Who being in the form of God, this is Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. And because we're his brothers, or his brethren, we are also servants. And he was made in the likeness of men, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why do we celebrate Christmas, or what do we celebrate? The birth of Christ, for sure. And the life secure for those who believe in him. You're secure in him, because he's given us a measure of grace. Sin is removed, and we are justified before a holy God. The faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in us. The work started and completed, it is finished. A broken, daily brokenness that recognizes we are nothing without him. So we die daily to ourselves and to our will. An ongoing sanctification process that conforms us to the image of Christ. The law and the prophets fulfilled. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ through the Holy Spirit. A future home in heaven with God the Father, Jesus his Son, and our guide, the Holy Spirit. The birth and life of Jesus Christ places us in a position of thankfulness, to which we just bow in awe to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as a young person, when I was young, I celebrated Christmas as his birth. And it definitely is his birth. There's no doubt. But we celebrate his life, what he did for us on that cross, what he is doing presently through sanctification, and what he will do when he comes again. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and give shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's continue with 115 and Doxology 666.